all of us good, but if you want to follow along, you're going to have to find it in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Chapter number 8, right after chapter number 7 of most of your Bibles. Just helping you out, amen.
Amen, brother, that's right.
Boy, it's been a good day.
Yes, sir, thank the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Hebner, it's a blessing. Thank you, Brother Harvey, for the message after the message. And the third and fourth one, too.
Amen.
Got a fun with him a little bit, amen. And thank you, Pastor, for letting us be here again.
Thank you.
And I remember that week, that all those years ago, when God showed up and began to deal with my son's heart. And I remember how all that came down.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I still rejoice over it.
Amen.
Well, you find your place there in Revelation 8. Just hang on to it just for a second. But how many ever wish you could know the future?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
depends. Yeah. Now, we're not talking about lottery. We're talking about important stuff. Amen.
Amen.
And somehow, I had a pair of glasses. Has a little dial back here. You could set it to a date in the future. And when you put them on, oh, there it is. What would you want to see? Well, you and I know that that's just pretend. Such a pair of glasses just simply doesn't exist. I mean, even Google can't do that. However, I have a book that is inspired of God. God literally breathed it out. And I can trust what it says. Why? Because God said it. And 25%, give or take a couple of pages, in this book, deals with prophecy. And God is the only one who knows the future. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. And he has given us a glimpse of the future in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Now, I see a rabbit running by. I learned this from Brother Harvey this morning. You chase a few of them. It's not Revelations with an S.
Amen.
It's Revelation with no S, because the revelation of is Jesus Christ, and there's only one Savior.
Amen.
Amen. I feel better now. We can move on.
That's good. Amen.
So we're going to take a look tonight into the future of a lost man. Before we do that, I'd like to ask you three questions.
Preacher.
Are you lost? The second, is there anyone in your family lost tonight?
No.
The third question is, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Amen. So stand with me to honor God's word, if you would please. In the book of Revelation in chapter number 8, we'll begin in verse number 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared into battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, and as were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. Father, help us tonight,
Lord, help you, man. God,
as we look into the future,
Lord, I pray,
with a more sure word of prophecy.
Yes,
no doubt this will happen. And help us make decisions based tonight on knowing the future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Preacher, I'm assuming this one's mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right,
yes,
thank you. Are you lost? Are there any of your family lost? And what do you plan to do about it? You know, if you could see the future like we began, and if you knew that thus and so was going to happen, because I made this decision here, how many's ever wished, boy, if I knew that was going to happen, I wouldn't have made that decision here.
Yeah, amen.
2 of us, okay. Well, folks, God is showing us a glimpse of the future of a lost man. Now, there are many, many scenes of this, but we're just going to take time tonight to briefly look at this one. Just one scene of many. The last part of the fourth angel sounding his trumpet as he flies through the midst of heaven, declaring, "Woe! Woe! Woe!" Now, that's not woe, horsey. It's meaning misery.
Yes, sir.
And although I'd say right here, if you're lost, whoa, horsey, stop everything. Get saved now.
Amen.
So you can enjoy the rest of the message.
Amen.
I wouldn't put it off. The rapture might happen. You'll be left behind. So you're going to preach that long? No, it's just going to happen that quick. Amen. Amen. Well, Baptists have been known down through the ages as men and women of the book. And because we believe the Bible, that makes us biblicists.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And as a biblicist, then that would make us dispensational. Now, I didn't say hyper-dispensation, because those dear brothers, if they're saved, are wrong. Okay, and you see what he mean by that? Well, they don't think the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's for us today. It's like, what? John 3:16 don't work today? Are you crazy? But see, in their mixed up eschatology, they think that there's a different way to get saved in each dispensation. And they're wrong. There's only one way. Even Abraham, saved by the same faith that you and I are saved by, and of our future grandchildren, should God tarry his coming, folks are going to get saved by the same faith. There's one way. It's Jesus Christ. There is no other.
Amen.
Well, we began, of course, Adam and Eve, the age of innocence, the age of conscience when they blew it. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God sent a flood, a global judgment. It wasn't just an area. And the next time he's going to judge the earth with a fervent heat. So I guess old Al Gore might have had something with this global warming going on, huh? Now it's backed off because it's too cold to have their meeting, so they call it climate change. But one day, Brother Peter had it right. It's all going to melt with some fervent heat. Amen. Well, after the floods, when God instituted human government, giving the government to the human the responsibility to hold mankind to keep his law. Amen. So I'm not against government, but what I am against is tyranny. Yeah, amen. And in fact, the highest law of the land of the United States is the U.S. Constitution. And when a government steps outside of the Constitution, they step into tyranny, and that's a whole other message. On down through time, we run into the patriarchs, Abraham and the boys. Amen. Isaac and Jacob, his 12 sons. The Jews, God's chosen people. But he set up the patriarchal system then that men are to lead the home. Amen. Actually, that's clear back to Adam. But nonetheless, it's here as well.
Amen.
Come on down through time, you run into a man named Moses. Up on Mount Sinai, God gave him the Ten Commandments. In fact, the way you look around today, you think people think it's the Ten Suggestions.
Yeah.
No, it's the Ten Commandments. Right. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Well, during that time of the law, God had some prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel and those good preachers, amen? And he gave them some visions, and he gave them some prophecy, and he gave Daniel 70 weeks and 7 weeks of seven, and 69 of those have been fulfilled. And right on time, the Messiah was cut off on the 69th week. That means he died on the cross, right on time, right on schedule. In fact, that's when God hit the pause button on that dispensation, instituted a parenthesis in which you and I live today. We might call it the church age, the age of grace. We might call it the times of the Gentiles. That's what the Bible calls
right.
it, amen.
Right.
And folks, and during that that time during the earth, Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, the great tribulation, we're talking about the 7 years or the 70th week of Daniel or Jacob's troubles, all that time period here on earth. And the church has not replaced Israel. America has not replaced Israel. God is right on time with his time. Table, and we don't believe in that heresy of replacement theology. God still has the chosen people, and he's right on time.
Amen.
Amen. What concludes that time period is what's called the second coming of Christ. The reason I'm taking a moment here to do this, the last 7 years, almost 7 years now. Can you believe that? We've been on the road almost 7 years. I'm running into different people out here. They're getting off of some of their doctrine. We need to reel that back in. See, they're getting the confusion of the rapture and the second coming.
Right.
The second coming is when King Jesus comes back on a big white horse.
Right.
And he lands on Mount Olivet. And when he gets off and puts his foot on the ground, there's going to be an earthquake.
Yeah.
And it's going to split wide open. And we call it the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus doesn't have to pull a .45 off his hip, amen. He has something far more powerful than that. That's his own word. He is speaking like a sharp two-edged sword. And the eyes will melt out of their sockets and run down off their cheeks. And the blood will flow as deep as a horse's bridle. And I forget now, I'd have to check it. It's either 60 or 80 days of time for cleanup from that. But we're going to have an inauguration service where Jesus Christ will be inaugurated as the King of the earth. Yes, the world dictator at that point in the town of Jerusalem.
Oh,
and the temple will be rebuilt by that point, and he'll literally sit on the king on King David's throne, just like he said he would. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And at the end of that, we have the great white throne, the battle of Gog and Magog, the great white throne. That everything blows up like Peter talks about, and you have the new heaven and new earth. We step off into eternity future with our Savior.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. So when we're dealing with the rapture, that all happens in front of the 70th week.
Yeah.
It happens at the end of this church age that we're in.
Amen.
It does not start the tribulation. It initiates. The ball gets rolling.
Yeah.
But what actually starts that 70th week is when the Antichrist actually comes to power. Where it talks about he who left will let no more. The Holy Spirit has this. he can't get up until he tells you he can't.
Amen.
Amen. And when he does, this world leader come on the scene and he'll be preaching peace, which will be phony baloney, but it shouldn't surprise us. Most of them are phony baloney now anyway. But anyway, don't get me sidetracked, man. I'm trying to get through this. So anyway, here he is, and he'll confirm a covenant for 7 years or peace treaty, whichever way you want to call it. But when he signs that document, start the clock, Bubba. The time is a ticking. And you can mark all 7 years, but we don't know exact day or the hour. That's the context of that verse, because it says in Matthew that for the elect's sake, God has shortened those days, or there wouldn't be anybody make it through that time.
Right.
Amen? Everybody with me here? So we're back to the idea. I know Brother Elm, teasing me with it. Got me thinking all about that again when he was preaching about it. Well, what's next on the timetable? And the reason I'm taking some time, I'm painting the picture to show you where we're at in chapter 8 and chapter 9. So just stay with me just a little bit longer here. So the next prophetic event on the calendar is the rapture.
Yes.
So when we say there's signs of the times, it doesn't apply to the rapture. If you apply signs of the times to the rapture, you violate the Bible doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. Wicked in his day. I think we qualify for a wicked day. Okay, we got that going on. But left on planet Earth? The saved. Noah and the gang. You know his family, right?
Yeah.
Likewise, the coming of the Son of Man, not the rapture. Don't get it confused.
You're right.
So at that judgment, Matthew 25, the wicked are taken. 1 Corinthians 15, we get a glorified body. Really easy question here. Who's left to populate the kingdom if it happens at the host side?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. So you're going to have a thousand year reign of nobodies. So, I mean, it don't even make sense. I mean, keep the doctrine straight, amen?
Yeah.
Back
yeah.
to the intermediate
That's
part.
Good, preacher.
This balloon is going to pop. And it's going to pop any second. The intermediate part is Jesus coming back. And if you come back in any second, a couple minutes on purpose to get in our head where we're at. All right, so here we go. Verse 13. And I heard, and I beheld, and I heard, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Whoa! Woe's coming. Whoa! You've been left behind. Whoa! You can't get saved now." So how do you say that? Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you rejected the love and context is dealing with the gospel, God himself is going to send you a delusionment and you will believe a lie. Stay with me now. Let's keep the doctrine right. Okay? Because anybody ever see the movie Left Behind? I have too. Fun entertainment. But don't get your doctrine from the movies. Amen? Because the black preacher on there used to play with Walker. When he was on there, and he was bouncing the ball, if you remember, in the church scene. And he's like in front of the podium, like, "Man, I preached it. I was good. I just didn't believe." And he threw it, knocks the cross over, and shows you about these knees. He just said, anybody remember the scene? That's heresy.
Right now.
Yeah. That's not correct. Because if he really did know it before and rejected it, he could have got saved.
Right.
God has sent him a delusion.
Yeah.
I believe the devil uses that kind of Christian entertainment to confuse people.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so they think, well, if I notice a million people going, "Oh, that's a rapture, I get saved." No, you can't.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Too late.
Yes,
so if you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to get saved.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why I ask. Are you lost?
Yes.
This is serious business, my folks. Are you lost?
Yeah.
You better make sure you're saved.
Amen.
I didn't have to pray some prayer. I'm asking, are you born again?
Yes.
I didn't ask you to sing in the choir, take up the offering. I didn't ask if you was a pastor or deacon or even somebody goes on visitation. I'm asking, are you saved?
Amen.
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 Sure.
Amen. Amen. This is your future. Wow. So, Jesus is the one that holds the key, so we can take by implication. He gave it to this angel in chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key. See, Jesus gave it to him. The bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was power given as the scorpion. Scorpions of the earth have power. Oh, my soul. Rose of smoke out of the bottomless pit. Like a great furnace. The only thing I can think of to liken that is like some volcano that just explodes and the air gets dark because of all the sulfur and all in the air. The sun is darkened. The air is darkened by the smoke of this pit. These demon-like locusts, I don't say demon as in deity, they're not gods. They are created beings that fell. Okay? They have no God power. Now, they're stronger than us, but they're just a fallen angel. So these creatures, these devils, receive their marching order. Look at our text, verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither in a tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Folks, who's commanding them? God. So even in the midst of this, God is still in control. Amen. Never get confused on that fact. God is still in control. He commanded them, hey, don't be eating trees, don't be eating grass. Torment the men that don't have the seal in their forehead. Torment the lost. Right, okay? But you can't kill them. And part of the curse is, when you sting them, they're going to live for 5 months and suffer. Men's going to seek death, but they can't die. See, how do you, the Bible says that. Death shall flee from them. Folks, I don't care if you took a shotgun and stuck it in your mouth, pulled the trigger, it'd just go click. And if it did go bang, you're still going to be alive in some ICU somewhere. And now you got a headache plus everything, all the problems. But you're not going to die. Amen. God helped us to come real to us. So these devils, these creatures, their description. Look with me in our text. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. What's that mean? What does it mean? Long hair. Huh, I didn't say it. Anyway, that's a whole nother message. They had long hair. Anyway. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Folks, the average size horse, if I'm standing flat-footed like this and look at one, I pretty much look at the top of their shoulder blade. If I'm going to pet an average size horse, I have to raise my arm up to pet him. I think a horse is a beautiful animal. Anybody like a Western besides me? I like when it shows the herd of horses running. And if you have surround sound, you know, you hear the thunder of it all through the house. Like, oh, yes, you know. And if they go to slow-mo and you see their muscles go, you know, it's like, yeah, that's a cool animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that kind of thunder, that's what one of these sound like when it's flying in on you. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Wow. They wear crowns like gold. My assumption here is to protect their heads. They have a face like a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. Could you imagine the ferociousness of what that creature would look like? You ever see these guys that are nuts in the circus that like stick their head in a lion's mouth? That's stupid. You don't stick your head in a lion's mouth, man.
Right.
But have you seen the teeth on those things? That's what these things will have. But a face like a man. Hair like a woman. Breastplate of iron. I'm assuming bulletproof. Their wings, the sound of thunder. Many horses pulling chariots. Wow. Their tail's that of a scorpion. Wow. They had a king over him. Got into a little Hebrew. Abaddon. In Greek, it's Apollyon. Both words mean destruction.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the text. That's what it says. Now, let me talk to you about some unbelievable results. After reading this futuristic account of what is going to happen, as sure as you and I are sitting in church right now, in fact, as a sure word of prophecy declares it, I would have thought that every lost man, woman, boy, and girl would get saved.
Think about it.
If I seen a creature like that running after me, one, I'd be petrified with fear. As a lost man, I think, you know, I think I'm done with this. Oh, God, save me! Quick, he's getting closer! Wouldn't it make sense? To hunt you down and nail your hide so you burn with the venom of their poison for 5 months. Has anyone ever been hit by a scorpion? Doesn't feel good. When we were in Texas, picking up our missionaries back when they were going to the language school, we're helping them move, and there was a scorpion in the house. He's about an inch long. I gave him all the room he wanted. And one of those crazy college students grabbed a shovel, and pinned him to the floor with the blade of that shovel. Gave him an attitude. I backed up more. Because his tail was hitting that shovel. I can't even make that noise. I can't even do it as fast with my tongue. It was like a little ooze. And you could hear the sting of it nailing that shovel. It's like, don't let him go. Can you imagine one as big as a horse? Wow. Jump to the end of the chapter, verse 20. Let's look at these unbelievable results. and the rest of the men, what that means is the people still alive at this point. Okay? Been many die. The globalists is wanting to reduce population during the tribulation. They're going to get their wish. But the rest of the men, the ones that still be alive, which were not killed, see, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, look at that next phrase, yet repented not of the works of their hands. You've got to be kidding me. You haven't repented yet that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Wow! Neither did they repent of the works of their hands. And I'm blown away with this. You've got to be kidding me. Look what's chasing you. And you're not repenting? Have you lost your mind? Do you not have any common sense? Don't you have an ounce of wisdom left in your being? And they repented not? And then I got thinking, wait a minute. What about in 2022? People hear these truths in one ear and out the other. All of us a minute, a while ago, hey, if I knew the future and this was going to happen, I'd make a different decision here. Right. But when God shows us this is what's going to happen, it's like, nope, I'm not repenting. Are you serious?
You're up.
Have you lost your mind? If you have two functioning brain cells, you should repent. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God.
Right.
It's not of works. It's not by the works of your hands. Yeah. Lest any man should boast. The worship of devils. Boy, that's going on, getting more common. Getting to the point where grandparents think it's a cool thing to get Harry Potter for their grandkids. What are you doing?
Man.
Don't hand them that filth, that trash.
Right.
You're introducing them to the realm of the devil.
Amen.
Leave it alone. Amen. The cultic stuff that's out there. These false religions. The spiritism. The little pogs and the crystals. Leave it alone.
Amen.
Has no place in a child of God's life.
That's right.
Today we call it New Age, but it's been around since Babylon.
Yeah.
It's the same old thing. It's the same old devil.
Right.
And they worship idols of gold and silver and brass and wood. And their idols are mud ugly. You ever see a picture of an idol? Man, I've never seen a good looking one. They're always ugly. Some kind of like spooky, scary face. Or some fat dude, you're supposed to come out and rub his belly and kiss his... I'm not kissing anything.
Amen.
I don't care if his name is Buddha.
Yeah.
He's wearing like these grape earrings. No! And they're so blinded.
Yeah.
If you want to take your God with you on vacation, you're going to have to pick him up and throw him in the back of a pickup truck or he's not going.
Yeah.
He has feet, but he can't get there on his own.
Amen.
He has hands, but those hands will never help you.
Right.
He has ears, but he won't hear one prayer
Amen.
You ever pray. He has eyes, but he's blind. He can't even see.
Amen.
Wow. And here we are in the good old U.S. of A. The American dream. Don't tell me that we don't have idols of gold.
Yeah.
Come on. Silver, brass, stone, and wood. Some call it the almighty dollar.
Yeah.
There's only one almighty.
Right.
His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Neither repented they of their murders. And our Senate and House is so mixed up in our state that they want to kill babies. And finally, the God answered where it was prayers on the prayer list or not, Brother Hibner, but praise the Lord, that Roe v. Wade was turned over. Now, why in the world has Indiana fought about that since that's happened? Are you serious? Does our governor have such a noodle back that he won't stand up and say, I'm not signing anything unless it's complete, total abolishing of the whole thing? I'm not killing a baby, even penalizing him for his daddy's mistake, even in the case of rape like that. Hey, so you're going to kill a baby because this guy messed up? Are you serious? And then they pass it out and they call this law. I just seen it on the thing. It was either today or yesterday where they're passing a pro-life bill. It's not pro-life if you're still killing babies. How can you do such a thing? Makes no sense. All in it for the big money. Well, I tell you one thing, God watched it. He heard the ridiculous 5 hours of debate the other day at the State House. What a filthy time. Shouldn't have been anybody on that side. What in the world? The sorceries and the witchcraft. It's where we get our word pharmakia or drugs. Man, they're rampant, whether the illegal prescription now. And I'm not against if you need medicine to take medicine and thank God for doctors or we wouldn't have our daughter Melody. Thank God for insulin. Amen. That's a medicine. She needs it every day of her life. Think if I ever meet the guy who came up with that, I'm going to shake his hand and say thank you because she had that at 6 and now she's 21. We would have never had all those years with her had we not had that insulin.
Right.
So don't get off the rocker there and think, oh, man, no, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the abuse of drugs.
Yeah.
Folks, our country has a serious problem. And fornication, the big umbrella for sexual sins. And we'd be fooled if we don't think that men in churches that belong to Jesus Christ don't have a problem with pornography. If we were to take time to go through everybody's phone in here and look at the history, and those guys that sit in the back room with the big thick glasses who know how to do all that techie stuff, they can pull up everything you've looked at every time. I don't care if you delete it or not. What would they find? Come on, and we wonder why we don't have the power of God. We're chasing the devils of our land. Instead of seeking after our holy God. Wow, so they didn't repent, but I'm thinking, good night. What about today? God's give us a look into the future. Won't you repent? Won't you repent of your works and put your faith in Jesus to be born again? Won't you repent of your works and strive after the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, this is where we're at today. God, send us revival. God, let the lost get saved and the saved get right. Wow. Remember when I was in the youth man working out with Brother Davis in Maryland back in the 80s? That's a minute. My job was etc. That's what youth director means in Greek. Anybody's ever had that position, you know that. It's what the preacher says. That's what that job description was. It was my turn to mow the yard, all 10 acres of it. And for some silly reason, the government made us put a big old hole in the ground out front and called it a pond. There's never any water in it, but that's what they called it. Something about drainage. Well, I go along, mow down, you disappear for a while, see me come up on the other side. One time I was out there this morning, I disappeared for a while, and boy, I didn't come up with the tractor, I came up a running. I hit some bees. These bees, I'm not joking, they're as big as my thumb. I think they're B-52s. And they're coming at me, they're diving at me. Have you ever ran faster than you could run? I did that day. I was running the church building as fast as I could go, and faster than I could go, and cost me the trip. So I kind of take my shoulder, and I roll and get right up, and I just keep on, and when I do that, they're diving at the ground. These guys are mad. I remember starting to pray, God, let that door, I said, before it's usually locked, they think, oh, God, let that door be unlocked. So scared you can't run, and the fear of seeing that, I would just be petrified and play with you like a cat before he kills you. tail comes up over across his back. Bam! And then you're begging to die. Oh, somebody help me! Somebody kill me! Put me out of my misery! You got to do something! For 5 months. And we haven't even got to hell yet. We're just dealing with a scene as the prelude to the lake of fire. Listen to me. I don't care if you're 5, 15, 55, or 105. You need to be born again.
Amen.
If you're not born again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you. That's why the Holy Ghost put this in here. This is your future if you're lost. Now, the sad part is, those of us in who are saved, we know what I said is true, and I didn't teach you anything new. You already knew that. But those facts, I just be honest with me, be transparent with your people here for a minute, Pastor. Here's the problem. It's like this morning. My eyes. I remember there were times, and more recent than it had been, but there's been long seasons of dry eyes. I remember, I've been to many churches that have carpet on the platform. Remember the days when we get on there and you hear people just sobbing?
Yeah, right.
Tears dripping off their cheeks, and they get up, and there's actually a wet spot there. Remember those? I've been there. Begging God to save my mama before it's too late. Begging God to save my daddy before it's too late. And some of you kids that grew up in a Christian home, you don't understand that kind of burden. Because your mom and daddy's saved. You've been in the nursery. I mean, the first experience of your life, you got to go to the nursery. That's the best life to have, by the way. But you could grow up in the nursery and wind up dying going to hell, right? You better make sure you're saved.
Yeah.
Thank God a few years ago, I got a hold of Josh's heart. I didn't even know he was. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to get saved. And if you're saved already, we need to ask God for a fresh burden for souls. We need to get this carpet wet. We need to get those pews wet from our tears for a burden for the lost. If you're here tonight and you're saved already, do you mind just raising your hand to testify? Yeah, Brother Danford, I've been saved. Thank the Lord. You put your hands down. How many might say, like, Brother Danford, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?